This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. It's your weekly blitz with Chris, keeping you in the game.
Are you ready to supercharge your auto repair business? This is Coach Chris Cotton from AutoFix Auto Shop Coaching. The weekly blitz is where industry expertise and business innovation collide, revving your engines for the week ahead. Every episode has game-changing insights, up-to-the-minute industry updates, and practical tips to shift your business into high gear. We're talking about stuff you didn't even know you didn't know, folks. This episode is brought to you by Shop Marketing Pros, the experts in marketing for top-tier auto repair shops. If you're running a successful shop and want to take it to the next level, Shop Marketing Pros is without a doubt your best option. From websites and SEO to social media and digital ads, Shop Marketing Pros help shop owners just like you and me fill our bays, grow our revenue, and build the life we've been working for. If you're ready to take the guesswork out of your marketing, I want you to visit shopmarketingpros.com/Chris to get a free digital marketing inspection and start building the shop of your dreams today. And before I get started today, just a little side note. Everybody knows that Shop Marketing Pros does the marketing for my business, but guess what? We're looking at starting a second shop, which is going to be a brand new, not currently running business. And my first call, Shop Marketing Pros. Without a doubt, they're the best and only option I feel for auto repair shop owners when it comes to marketing their businesses. If I wouldn't trust them to my own shop, I wouldn't send you to them, people. That's pretty much the bulk of what I have to say about that. Here we are, episode number 7. We're kind of winding this series down. The thing I wanted to talk to you about today, I guess before that, we need to kind of wrap up or maybe look back real quick at what we talked about earlier. You know, some of the stuff we've talked about is team alignment, KPI tracking, strong communication, workflow, tools that we use in our repair shops, and a bulletproof diagnostic process. But guess what? All of that goes out the window if your people aren't safe. Because here's the truth. No job that we do is worth doing if it puts my team, your team, or your business at risk. So today, I want to talk about two things that don't get enough attention: shop safety and shop environment. And I'm not just talking about OSHA posters and clean floors. I'm talking about creating a culture where safety is automatic and the environment helps your people thrive, not just survive. I also want to say this is like a work in progress. For me, when we had our previous shops, I honestly can't think of a time when we had to take anybody to urgent care, and we had like a long track record. We had 8 years at one shop, 3 years at another shop. The first 2 months in business with Firestone of Durango, I think we had to take 2 people to urgent care. Nothing serious. One was a cut. One was a person that was wearing safety glasses and then still ended up with some fuel in their eye, kind of hit them on the head and like dripped down behind. But, you know, I don't know if maybe we did a better job of rubbing some dirt on there and getting back into the work or what. But for some reason, we had 2 right off the bat. And the first one made me personally angry at myself and whatever. And the second one really pissed me off. Like, what are we doing wrong? Or what can we do better to not have these incidents and issues? And so I'm knocking on my table here. Hopefully we don't have any more for a really, really long time. So the first part is why safety and environment matter. A lot of shops I've worked in, some shops don't always take safety seriously until something happens. You know, somebody gets a back injury, somebody gets a chemical burn, a fire, a huge workers' comp claim. You know, it's never happened in my shop. It's never happened in a shop where I've worked with somebody as a client. But, you know, there's been a couple of instances where I've read in the news, and we had a competitor of ours one time lose somebody, like on the job death from something that wasn't going correctly. So worst case scenario, somebody doesn't go home at the end of the day to their family. And for most of you or most of us, that's when the light bulb goes on. But by then we're like way past that. Safety isn't an afterthought. It's a business system, just like your workflow or your KPIs. You don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. And safety is one of those systems. It's also the foundation of employee retention, I think. Nobody wants to work in a chaotic, dangerous, or toxic environment. So this episode isn't just about preventing accidents. It's about protecting your team, your reputation, and your bottom line. When I think about maybe 7 essential areas of shop safety that I want everybody to think about, review with their teams this week, Number one, it's really simple. PPE, safety glasses, gloves, ear protection, work boots. For us, we go out and buy work boots for our guys twice a year. Sometimes if they don't want twice a year and they're doing fine, then I let them make that decision, but they have the option. And what we do is we pay up to $150 for a pair of work boots. If they want to buy a better pair of boots, that's fine. I may need to rethink that this next time around. We may have to go up to $200 to get a good pair of boots. You know, part of PPE is make it available, make it required, and make it part of onboarding. You know, if you expect them to use it, you need to reinforce it. I think if a tech refuses PPE, they're not just risking themselves, they're risking your insurance premiums and your liability. And you have to think about, how does that affect me? How does that affect what we're doing? Number two, chemical handling and SDS compliance. Every fluid, solvent, or aerosol in your shop should have an SDS sheet. Store chemicals properly in labeled ventilated cabinets. Make sure that you have your fireproof cabinets. Train the team how to use, dispose, and clean up chemicals safely. For some reason, we've had a huge run in our shops of our oil drains running over. Now, I know what it is. I would say it's a little bit of laziness, or a lot bit laziness, like I tell them constantly. At the end of the day, empty your oil drain. But some people run around, they don't do that. Next thing I know, it's, hey, boss, don't go outside. And I'm like, oh, great. Number three, lifting safety and jack use. I think you should do some sort of a visual vehicle lift inspection monthly, just in case something happens that you don't know about. Obviously, yearly, if you're in places where it's required, then make sure you get those required. Make sure you get those things inspected. You know, jack stands need to be used when appropriate, no exceptions. And the big thing I want to share with everybody is a term called shortcut culture. Don't let shortcut culture creep in here. One failure can cost a life, get somebody hurt, etc. Number four, fire safety. Keep extinguishers mounted, tested, and visible. Have a clear evacuation plan. Flammable liquids should be stored in a flammable cabinet, not in that old desk drawer. We have fire safety here, but we mentioned have a clear evacuation plan. Sadly, you need to have an evacuation plan for a fire. You need to have an evacuation plan for an active shooter. You also need to have a plan if you're in the tornado belt in the Midwest. Like, I grew up in Oklahoma, Texas. You need to have a place. Where do you go in case there's a tornado? Hurricanes, I think you have plenty of time for that, but what is your hurricane safety plan maybe? Like, what do you do? Like, how soon before a hurricane do you call the wall and shut the shop down and tell everybody to go for cover? Like, some of these things need to be thought out and be written out and ready to go. Number five, electrical safety. No daisy chained extension cords, no uncovered panels, no frayed cords. Big thing right now is lithium battery safety. I almost had a shop of mine for AutoFix, one of our coaching clients. They got a notification within 15 minutes of them closing for the day that there was a fire. They had an alarm system that had some sort of fire smoke detector. He got a notification. By the time he turned around and got back to work, fire department was there, kicked the door in, and were putting the fire out. But those lithium batteries, from talking to the fire marshal after they did this investigation, if you drop those or they fall more than about 2 or 3 feet, you should throw them in the trash. Like, if you have a battery by itself, it hits, those things compromise pretty easily. And the fire departments are seeing a lot of fires started by lithium ion batteries. You get done with the day, they work fine. You put them in the charger, and then something happens while they're in the charger. They're getting all their new juice and they just fail, and then boom, go poof. If you've been to my processes and procedures class here lately, I show a picture of this. It was sitting right next to some Freon canisters. It was sitting within 5 feet of gas cans in the shop. Luckily, none of that happened, and the fire was able to be put out pretty quickly. They didn't have any downtime from it. But if it would have gotten over into those gas canisters, then who knows what would have happened. So really think about your lithium batteries. Like, what process or procedure do we have around those? Next, we have slips, trips, and falls. Oil dry should be within reach of every bay. Not like a huge trash can, but maybe like one of those smaller trash cans. It's got it in it. It's got a scoop. Hoses and cords need to be properly routed or hung. Walkways should be clear, not obstacle courses. Going back to hoses and cords need to be properly routed or hung. When we bought our shop, we spent a lot of money getting hose reels for everybody, for all the airlines that we have. And sometimes I walk through the shop and we use them and we just leave them strung out. We don't like pull them and then let them go back and retract. Like, there's a reason why we have those. It's so that we know exactly where it's at and so we're not going to trip over it. So if you're working on that, that's a process or procedure. I need to spend more time talking to the guys about, hey, I spent $70 a piece on these hose reels. Why aren't we using them the way we're supposed to be? First aid and emergency preparedness, fully stocked first aid kit in plain view, emergency numbers posted. Is anybody on the team CPR certified? If not, maybe you need to do a class where everybody's certified. Next thing, I don't know what the going price on a defibrillator is now, but maybe we need to look at having the emergency defibrillators in our shop. You never know. Like, funnily enough, I'm the oldest person in our shop now in the business. I'm 52 years old. Hopefully I never have an issue, no heart attacks in the shop, but we have, for the shop, we have 10 full-time employees now. I'm in there, Kimberly's in there. And then we also have 20 to 25 customers come through there every day. So you never know who may be in need of that or who may need it when the time is right, I guess, or the time is wrong, depending on how you look at it. But think about it. Maybe it's something you need to add to your shop. So now if we're talking about what else, like the environment beyond safety. So let's talk about your shop environment. And I don't just mean paint and posters. There's like three E's: energy. What's the mood? Is there tension, yelling, or silence? Ergonomics. Are your techs physically straining every day? Poor lighting, awkward storage. How can we make their work less stressful and easier for them? Enjoyment. Do people really want to come to work for you? Culture isn't built with donuts on Friday. It's built with consistency, clarity, and care. So if we're talking about what builds a positive shop environment, some sort of daily routine that starts with clarity, morning huddles, organized bays, not techs wasting 15 minutes looking for tools or having to stop and clean up in the middle of the day. Climate-controlled break rooms if your shop isn't air-conditioned, and maybe a break room that doesn't feel like a punishment, something that's happy and fun to be in. Management that checks in on people, not just problems. I personally try to find my employees doing things right and reinforce that. And I don't like roll up a newspaper, take the fly swatter and whack the dog, so to speak. Like, I want to find good, positive actions and I want to reward those actions. Music, lighting, airflow, things that affect mood all day long. I've seen a lot of shops just turn around culture by improving lighting and reducing clutter. Techs walk taller, admire, smile more. That stuff matters. I'm going to go back to music for just a minute, though. I don't know if it, well, it's not just because I'm old. But in our shop, the guys play their music. And the other day I was at the shop in the office and I could actually feel the bass through the wall. So music's something that we have to tread lightly with. A lot of shops, they let it rotate. So one person gets to pick the music every day. But let's have music, but let's be respectable to everybody. And so I need to put that on my list of things to do to talk to the technicians about. Next, building a safety culture. How do we start turning safety from a checklist into a mindset? Appoint a safety lead, one person per shop who owns the checklist, the reporting, the reminders. It doesn't have to be the manager. It can be somebody that wants to do it, somebody's interested in doing it, but somebody should be a safety lead. Safety walks. It takes like 10 minutes in a big shop, 5 minutes in a small shop. Walk the floor, check for trip hazards, fluid leaks, expired fire extinguishers, open cabinet doors. It can be food that's out. And it doesn't have to be. This can be a tech. This can be a service advisor. If your spouse wants to do it, I highly recommend you having a spouse do it because they will locate things and find things in a shop that you would not even think about. Like, and two, I want you to think about, if I take a customer out here and show them something at their car, if I had to, what does it look like? How does it feel? What's the routing that the customer has to take? Like, we have to make sure that it's safe for everybody. Next, reward safety. Don't just punish mistakes. Give out a small bonus or recognition for the cleanest bay, the best PPE usage, or safety suggestions. Also, involve the team in solutions. What's something unsafe or annoying that we could fix? And then you just go and fix it. Also, train it like you mean it. Make safety part of your onboarding, your reviews, and your meetings. And if your team doesn't see you modeling safety, then they won't take it seriously either. Here's the bottom line. You can't build a profitable shop if your people don't feel safe. You can't scale if your culture is chaos, and you sure as hell can't grow if your environment burns people out. So I want you to take some time this week to look around. Is your shop clean? Is it safe? Does it feel like a place you'd want to work in again if you were starting out? If the answer is no, then you got to fix it. If you want help creating a safety checklist, mapping out your weekly walks, or improving your shop culture from the ground up, head over to autoshopcoaching.com, sign up for a consultation, and we can help you build the shop that performs and protects. I need you to stay safe, stay sharp, and take care of your people, all right? I want to give another shout out to our sponsor, Shop Marketing Pros. They're the only marketing company I recommend, and they handle all the marketing for my own shop as well. If you're serious about growth, you need strategies that actually work, better websites, higher Google rankings, and ads that bring real customers through your doors. I want you to go visit shopmarketingpros.com/Chris and partner with a team that understands your business, because every great shop deserves marketing that's just as great. Thanks for tuning in to the Weekly Blitz. Remember, it's time to rise, grind, and keep your mindset positive. Until next time, this is Coach Chris Cotton signing off. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton on the AftermarketRadioNetwork.com. Follow Chris on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Chris is all for advancing the aftermarket.